praise the Lord. So far, you know, God has been telling us through the book of Ephesians many things. And I actually put it right in your bulletin so that we will never forget what God has been teaching us through the book of Ephesians. If you look at the back of your bulletin, I actually wrote out what we started with. From Ephesians 1, starts with, it is about God. And it was not because we were so good, but it is because God loved us so much that He forgave us from our sins. Even though we were on our path towards the downward spiral of destruction, He loved us and He gave us salvation. He brought us, though we are undeserving, into His family. And now we are made complete in Jesus with fullness and life and power. Therefore, because of His wonderful love to us, now let us go out and love others. Let us be unto one another. And actually, you know, we had this name to one another before we even started going for Ephesians, and it all matches. Praise the Lord. Okay, so as a result of that love of God, as a result of God's love to us, now to not be selfish, not to pursue our own desires or pursuits, but instead to have deep concern for one another, to form relationship with people, instead of being strangers with one another, but to be friends, to be brothers and sisters with one another. So now, if we are grateful towards God, how can we, as a result of our gratefulness to God, how can we now love others? That's what I want to talk about today. The title of today's message is called Messed Up Relationships. Let's get there. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're here, I come before you. Lord God, let it not be me speaking. God, I rely on you, Holy Spirit, Father God, so that you will give us the word for today. Lord God, teach us about what it is that you want us to learn. And Lord, show us the way. Lord, would you convict each of our hearts so that when we leave today, Lord, that your message, your word, has been implanted in our hearts so that we would go live the rest of our lives for you. Thank you for your goodness, your grace. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen. How many of you heard Christianity is a religion? Christianity is a relationship. How many have heard that? Christianity is a relationship. Christianity is a relationship. I'm surprised because that's really the message that the Bible gives us. You know, there are many religions. There's Judaism, there's Buddhism, there's all these religions, right? They are religions. You know, you gotta go and, you know, sacrifice, or you gotta pray 3 times a day. There's rules that you gotta follow. But Christianity is different. Follower of Christ is different. We do as the Holy Spirit guides us. We don't have set law that says you must pray 3 times a day. You must come, you know, you must do X, Y, and Z to be loved by God. It's a relationship because our God loves us and we love Him back. That's what all the scripture tells us. And because of our love for Him back, we love others. So Christianity is not a religion. Okay, I want to be clear on that. Christianity is not a religion like any other. It is a relationship. Relationship first between me and God and me and others. And how is that going for you? How is your relationship with God? How is your relationship with other people? And I gotta admit, you know, for those of you that are a little bit older, you know, when you get a job, if you're starting a business, if you have, you know, if you own, you know, stores, or if you're working, if you have a job, I gotta admit, it's hard for us to say, you know, yeah, the relationship between me and God, and, you know, I spend a lot of time with God, but we should. Ephesians 5:1-2, this was actually from last week, this is what it says. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. You know, as Jesus came to love the people, let us go love the people. Okay, and so Christianity is not a religion, but it's a relationship. It's a relationship. When I was in high school, that's when I met Jesus. Yeah, 10th grade, I went to a church retreat in high school, and I met Jesus when I was there. And when I met Jesus, it's like my whole life changed, and I did crazy things. One of the crazy things I did in high school was, so here I am, you know, with like a bunch of friends, we play frisbee together after school, and There was this guy known as the gay guy.
Gay guy? You guys know gays, right?
There was a guy gay known as the gay guy. And he was basically a homeless beggar guy who was just kind of, you know, whenever all the students would get off the street and walk to school, it was about 3 blocks away. This guy would just kind of sit there, his face is all dirty, oily, just, he probably hadn't washed his face for months. Very dirty, but then he comes and approaches the kids like, "Hi, how are you doing?" You know, with no real meaning, and so, you know, as all high school kids would do, they would just criticize him as, "He's a gay guy." That's how his name came to be. But I met Jesus, and when I saw this guy, I was upset with the way all my friends, all my peers were basically making fun of him. So I approached him myself, instead of letting him even approach me. I said, "Hi, how are you doing?" So I got to know him. Okay, and then so days went by. You know, he still hung around for a month. One day, I was playing frisbee with my friends after school. And there was, my school was in the Bronx, pretty, you know, tough neighborhood. There were about 10 tough guys. They were, you know, probably high school, probably left back many, many years. They're older, you know, they're bulky and strong, right? 10 guys came, surrounded it. They were ready to, I don't know, what do you expect them to do? I mean, when this guy in the middle and this guy around, what do you think is going to happen? Right? I saw that. I was playing frisbee with my friends. I just ran out there. I couldn't even go around the regular door because, you know, it would just take me too long. But I had to climb the fence to get into the middle of the circle. Because I just didn't want to see anything happen to him. And, you know what's amazing though, was now those 10 guys, now that they see a regular guy coming up right into the circle, they decided, you know, yeah, help with him, you know. You don't need to beat him up. And so, that was my experience with this guy known as the gay guy. You know, I gotta admit, you know, there were like, you know, after, there were a couple of girls that watched me do this and they were all like following me. Alright, but, you know, but basically, it was because I recognized the love of God to me that I said, you know, I want to love this guy. Though everybody rejects this guy, I want to love this guy. And so, my question to you, how do you relate to others? I mean, you know, especially when many of us have jobs, many of us go to school, you know, we have classes, we have work to do, some of us, we have to worry about the SATs, going to what college, right? When we have that kind of lifestyle, we have no time for others, right? But, you know, Ephesians 4:2, this is what we read last 2 weeks ago. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. We do that. So, us as Christians, we are called to relate to others, not just be nice to others, not just look outwardly nice, hey, yo, I'm a nice guy. You know, it's really for us to relate to others, see them as they are. Because God, He relates to us just as we are. And that is the basis of our ministry to one another. Today, I want to tell you about how our culture has messed up these relationships. Today's passage, it starts with submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, right? And then the main stories are really examples of how we ought to relate to one another. And so the world, our culture right now has a very messed up view of relationships. The world talks about independence, right? Independence. We gotta succeed on our own. We gotta study hard. We gotta be doctors, right? We gotta be very smart, and we gotta do well, look good, be good, right? But you know that. I think in some ways it's good, but that destroys God's picture of community. You see, community is what God had in mind. The church is what God had in mind. Church being a people who love God. Community being a place where people relate to one another. If you look at Acts 2, you know, that's the early churches, right? People gathered, they shared lives together, gave what they had to those in need, basically had a circle of friends that truly cared for one another. What is your picture of friendship? I want you to think about this. Take a moment, stop, think about this. What is your picture of friendship right now in our culture and in our society? I gotta admit, you know, in high school I had this many friends, right? And then I go to college, they're no longer my friends because now I'm in college. And now I'm in college, now I have this set of friends. Now, you know, I don't even see them anymore, so they're no longer friends. And then I get married, now, you know, I have a small pool of friends, you know, and what is friendship? What is friendship? What is your friendship? What is your view of friendship like? You know, in our past, they find the point to miss one another, right? And give examples of what we look like in very, very common and important relationships. And so I want to tell you a story. Let's see how we could relate to this. Okay? There was a boy. His name was James. He was born in Korea, grew up in Seoul. His parents only sold in Korea. So he lived happily. When he became 13, little to his knowledge, his parents were struggling with money. And their store in Korea had closed. Due to the deficit, they heard about a country where they can start over. A new place to start over. And so they bought plane tickets with the little money they had for selling all they could to Korea. And then they came the immediate way to America, thinking they could make it. When the family arrived, James was fortunate to have an uncle that came to America several years ago. The uncle and his family at least had a place to live, so James' family stayed with them until they could figure out what to do. Life was difficult in America because he couldn't communicate with anyone due to his lack of English. His parents were no different. Due to frustration, parents constantly fought. Even after establishing a deli, so the parents owned the deli, as a way to make a living, the family finances were tight, and difficulty of living in America with language and cultural barriers was difficult. As a teenager, James was learning about the world and desired to become more independent. He was also becoming a Christian girl. Good guy. As time went on, James was able to communicate better in English, and though he loved his parents, he desired to receive more from them. Yeah, he felt his peers were getting from their friends, so he felt his peers were getting iPods, getting a new car, getting the latest computer and laptop, and he felt like he wanted to get more. His peers at school were able to get the latest gadget from a new car, but it wasn't very little. His friends always had money to go somewhere after school to eat and hang out. He didn't. But because James had no money, he also avoided his friends after school and left. I want to talk about, there are three examples that God gave us in the book of Ephesians. Paul talked about marriage, wife, the relationship between wife and husband, and then he also talked about children and parents. He also talked about slaves and masters. But you could think of that in modern terms as boss to subordinate. Like you work for someone, so boss to you. Okay? I want to talk about marriage. So I could give like a whole seminar on marriage, you know, as if I'm not the expert, but I'm not. But one thing I want to talk about is marriage is supposed to exemplify how God loves us. How we are one with God. You know that, if you have your scripture, it says Ephesians 5:32, this is an illustration of the way Christ and church are one. Marriage, our relationship, a man and a woman's relationship, that is supposed to portray how God loves us, how we are one in Christ. I want to ask you, is that how you perceive marriage? Is that how you perceive marriage? Think of it, in our culture today, that is not the picture of marriage, of, you know, God loves us, so we are one. That is not the picture of marriage that we have in our culture today. I try to list out the experiences that we young people have today. Our experiences, divorced parents. As young kids, some of us may have divorced parents. Over 50% of all married people, whether Christian or not, are divorced. Peers with single parents. Some of our friends have single parents, and they just raised with their mom, and this is just a common thing, not a norm. Media portrays that it's good to see multiple relationships. You know, it's not good for you to just settle down and marry someone because, you know, you've got to have many relationships. Breaking up is a common thing. It's norm. Just go check on Facebook, check on your list. There are people going to talk about, I broke up again. I'll just hook up with someone else. That's our experience today. So how can we picture marriage as something that God has planted to demonstrate His love for us? So as a result of our experiences, this is what we do. This is what many people do. I don't know about you guys, individuals, right? But this is what many people do. We can always date, hook up, get intimate, and then break up. No problem. Since everything is temporary, you just need to show our fake self. So when we get into a relationship, we kind of like, you know, look good, oh yeah, I make a lot of money, you know, I don't know, maybe borrow someone's Porsche and say, yeah, I drive the Porsche. You know, we want to just look good. We kind of want to have like a superficial, artificial picture that we show to other people. Because we don't need to be real, because everything's temporary. We're going to just meet somebody and we're going to break up anyway, so why not just look good? There's no need for commitment.
boo. Right? Just desire for romantic feelings and intimacy. And then when you feel like it, you can leave. Right? Because when feelings leave, you know, since there's no friendship or commitment that exists, you can just break up. It's easy. So we don't ever say, we say, I fell into love, right? Because, you know, I fell into love because that's what I felt like at the time. And then now I fell out of love, so no need. If you don't like marriage, if you guys ever get married, you know, the picture of the cultural marriage is, we get married, if I don't like it, I'll walk. There was a joke on Christians that I heard, okay, about gay people. You know, what do Christians view on gay marriage? You guys know this, right? Christians say, you know, don't let gay people get married because that is against the law. Somebody joked about this, said, you know what, I think Christians are making it worse. You know, Christians should, instead of banning marriage, gay marriage, they're making it worse by saying don't do it. They should just say, go ahead and get married. Why? Because after a year, they're just going to say, nah, forget it. Does that make sense? Alright, like that. Alright, but anyway, in this joke, there is a common acceptance of divorce. Right? There's common acceptance of, I do whatever I want because I feel like it. I fell into love, I feel like it. So in our culture today, marriage is not a picture of what God loves to us. I printed out the marriage vow. You know, this is a common marriage vow that people use. I thank, take you, Richard, to be my, I'll give you my wife. Be my wife. I promise to be true to you in good times and in the bad, in sickness and in health. I will love you and honor you all the days of my life. I thank you, Richard, for my lawful wife, to have you and to hold you from this day forward, for better or for worse, for richer or poor, in sickness and in health, until death do us part. We say these things. You know, this is common in all the ways. But this is not what is kept in the world. And so in our experiences, it just seems so fake. And we live our lives as superficial makers. God does not call us to be that way. So let me continue my story about James. So James learned his view of male-female relationship from television. Growing up, his parents would be working in the deli. So whenever he came home, he would just watch television and get on the internet. On television, it seemed like hooking up was something to be taken lightly and something that every person should do on a regular basis. When people get together, they have to become intimate very quickly, and relationships are meant to only last for a while. Marriage is something that people tend to do only after having been around with many people. And even then, if they don't feel like a picture of divorce was wrapped on television and marriage has no constancy, it's no different than late dating. So it's all the same. Marriage is just another meaningless celebration. With his parents constantly fighting on the verge of divorce, and knowing many peers only have a mom, James recognized living as a single as a norm. So marriage, the future of marriage now no longer close to him. James now held a view that relationships are temporary, replaceable, and meant to achieve one's pleasure. There was no commitment involved, as either party can always be and look to someone else. This is the message for today. Okay. The message is that I want us to get this in our hearts. Let us become agents of transformation for our community. In our culture today, people do not need the sanctity of marriage. People do not understand that, you know, marriage is supposed to be a picture of God loves us and we love God. Let us become the agents of change for our community. The world views relationship like this, and that's the church. We are to portray a different picture. We're supposed to portray a different... Christians are not supposed to be the same as everyone else in the world. Okay, we are supposed to portray a different picture. This is what marriage is like. This is what dating is like. You know, maybe I could talk one day about dating, right? But relationship between a male and a female is supposed to be something that God has ordained as holy. Something great, something good. Now it's become meaningless. The world has just changed the culture around and made it just whatever, do what you feel like. God has told us, okay, from Book of Ephesians, but all throughout Scripture, Christianity is a relationship between us and God and us and other people. Will you love one another as Christ loves you? This is not just about marriage, but really a picture of how God loves us, how we ought to love others. So will you love others as Christ has loved you? So let me talk about the second part, where we talk about children and parents. What are our experiences when it comes to being obedient to our parents? If you read Ephesians, what we read today, Ephesians 6 talks about parents and children, right? Our experiences as children. Parents are struggling financially. Parents are struggling with financial or something else, okay? Parents do not discipline their children. Parents are so busy at work that they don't have time for us. Other peers rebel against their parents, so why don't we rebel against our parents? Especially in an industrial age, younger people feel like they know better. We could just go on the internet, we know better than our parents. And you know, our parents have language barrier, we know better than them. Or that's the experience that many of us feel. So we show defiance to our parents. Say, parents, go away, I know better than you. We do what we want, there's no greater authority than me. I decide what is good. I choose what is right. What do? We complain and criticize. We become God in our own eyes and say, no one tells me what to do. I am me. I am God. I do what I want. And so we do not honor our parents. Let me continue James' story. Eventually, James decided that he could change the way things are by getting a job. He got a job at a local bakery. That would have been fun, right? Now he had enough money to get himself a smartphone and eat and hang out with friends. He could go to Vodafone and party, clubs, whatnot, right? He became popular, liked by many people. He became confident in his own abilities. Now, he now felt that his parents are not needed to take care of him, to take him where he wants to be. He started coming home late. He was preparing for him to be ahead by 9 p.m. He started coming home at like 2 in the morning after going to Vodafone and clubbing and all that, right? He started drinking with friends, smoking, and all his parents are talking to the wooden life. Because he felt like, you know, I can now make it. I got a job and I can now make it. His parents relinquished control because they felt they weren't worthy parents. Not being able to provide for their son and his life being miserable in America with language and culture barriers. James became more defiant than his parents in their depression. They stopped disciplining him. They just let him do what he wanted, thinking that maybe he knows better. They began to distance themselves and relationship between parents and James, and their relationship has grown just a further apart. And it's just no different than what we have today in our world. I want you to look at, you know, it's not you, okay? I want you to think about your friends, right? Are any of them really close to their parents? Are you close to your parents? I want to get through this really quick. Work, you know, because Ephesians also talks about work, our relationship between our bosses and subordinates. Okay, our experience today is they're dead end jobs. Our jobs, they are dead end. They have no meaning, and we have no passion for them. We just do it because we need to make a living. We have to pay off our debt, and we have any living expenses. So we have to expect. We have to work just passionlessly. Jobs are the result of industrial age, which I don't want to go through history right now, it's the time. But we are taught to study, and when we go to college, we're taught to focus on a major, and then to focus on that one thing throughout our life, even though we are actually multi-talented. We are expected to be experts in one field, and we kind of like to feel like we don't want to be experts in accounting, or, you know, or, I don't know, engineering, or whatever it is, music, whatever it is, because we just lose passion in those things. So what we do is we have no longer have ownership, we have no passion for work, we just kind of go like zombies and just go there to make a living. We do our bare minimum, which carries on to the rest of our lives. You know, like when we are passionless at work, if we are passionless at like working on our cars or working on music or the things that we want to do. So instead of living with passion for the things we want to do, we live like zombies. And we're constantly tired, burnt out, stressed out. We're constantly longing for something better, never able to find satisfaction. We're never happy. As a result, we disrespect our bosses, our peers. We just want to be left alone. Okay, tell me that is today. Work. I just want to get to a conclusion. So today I talked about relationships. Relationships. Ultimately in our days, our view of relationships is screwed up. It's messed up. If this is not us, if our view of relationship is not good enough, then at least check your peers, check your friends, okay? Our relationship, now relationships have become a way of getting hurt and people just simply avoid it. Now we just want to do well on our own. We just want to succeed on our own, do well on our own. But God calls us to community for us to work together, to be together, to be one as God, as we are one in Christ. Okay, we're called to be great independent people, to get smarter, to do better, be fake, and always look good. However, true relationships show our real selves. We're not fake. Think about that. You know, we live our lives being fake in front of other people. We go on Facebook with different things that what we really have in our hearts. God wants us to come to Him as we are. You know, not showing something fake. God, you know, I'm a good person. No, God knows you're a bad person. Alright, God already knows who you really are. Just as Christ exposes us, Ephesians 5:14, and accepts us just as we are. Alright, God desires us to come as we are to Him, and then be honest and real to each other. So then for us personally, it is a call for us to be genuine and real before God. Come to repentance of our independent lifestyle, fall in love with God once again. You know, I'm afraid to ask, how many of you are in love with God? Because, you know, we live such a busy life, we don't have time for loving God. That's what many people would say. But God called us to repent of our independent lifestyle, fall in love with Him again. Our root is in Christ, and it is from His love that we can love others. And for our community, it's a call to demonstrate rightful living. Just like us, you know, maybe some of us, okay? Many people do not understand the value of friendship. Because word friendship is now meaningless. Relationship. Or being dependent on God or others. Because we're supposed to be good on our own. Let us be agents of change in our community. Agents for transformation within our community. Let's tell people, this is how God wants us to love others. Alright, hey Dev, can you play the piano for us? I just wanted to come into some time of prayer where we could. You know, some of us may be thinking, you know, Sam, I'm not ready. You know, my life is so messed up, I can't love others. I don't have time for others. I have, you know, things I need to do. Alright? I'll do it when I'm ready. But then you know why God prays. But God says, come to them. Thank you.